This morning, I want to just share from a few scriptures, and I want to share a few thoughts. As we've been spending time with the theme throughout all of June of halftime adjustments. And if you happen to be joining us by way of live stream for the first time or joining the house here for the first time, I'm John W. Stevenson, and I have the privilege of serving as a senior pastor and the apostle of Heirs Covenant Church. We're located in a building called the Embassy, which we own. It's here in Hamilton, Ohio, 621 South Erie Boulevard. Here in Hamilton, Ohio, you're welcome to come and worship with us anytime. Sunday mornings, our services start at 10:30 midweek time, 7:30 on Wednesday evenings, time of prophetic worship, intercession, and prayer. And God has given us an assignment. We're a house that believes in the functioning of apostolic ministry, just simply meaning we believe we're here to have a kingdom impact in this area and in this region. So when we say apostolic, we're not talking about a doctrine or a theology. We're talking about the practice, if you will, or the function that we see often in the scriptures as the apostles went out and established churches and took territory. We believe in taking territory, and we believe that this is an assignment that God has given us as well. And so we believe in the prophetic. We believe in prophetic ministry. We believe in hearing in the moment. And if you were participating in our worship, even today, we just believe in flowing with Holy Spirit. Pastor Derek Thomas, who's pastor, he and Jill, of Presence Driven Church, strong prophetic ministry as well. And so we team up and just lead us in a time of prophetic worship. It's a little different because sometimes you're not singing something that's on the screen. And everything is not scripted, if you will. It's like we'd like to think that we have moved forward so much that, you know, we've moved past hymnals. How many of you grew up in churches where you sang with hymnals and things like that? I did. I grew up in the Methodist church, and then from there to what was a Baptist church. So we always had the hymnals. Well, those hymnals now have been replaced with PowerPoint and a ProPresenter. So it's like, you don't have to do like this. Now you can just look up or look at the screen. But there is a place in worship that goes beyond what's on the screen or what's in the song books. And that's where often we find God in those new and very different ways. So God spoke a word to us, and that word came to us, halftime adjustments. So all throughout June, thank you, son. Thank you, son. We're good. All throughout June, we took the time to unpack that. And I believe that for many of you, you start to hear some things as to what that meant for you. When we use the analogy halftime adjustments, it's like when the team is at halftime. It could be a football team, it could be a basketball team. Primarily those two, we use those examples. They go into the locker room. That's the time when they talk amongst themselves, or the coach talks to them about the adjustments they need to make to go back out, either to get better than what they did in the first half, or continue to do what they're doing and do it better so that they can win at the end. How many of you know that in the end, we do win? In the end, we really do win. But the key for us is that we remain victorious along the way. So we already know the end of the story. We win. Come on, say, I win. Come on, say, I win. As a matter of fact, there is a recorded piece that I put out some time ago called I Still Win, and you can find it out there on Facebook. You can find it on YouTube. You can find it on iTunes, and it's called I Still Win, and I encourage you to get it because it's a prophetic declaration that's full of scripture with that theme all the way to the end that says I Still Win, and at the end it says we still win. Yeah, we still win because the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first, and then those of us that remain will be caught up with them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We still win. We still win. I'm just going to clap for myself right there. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, so I just want to encourage you that no matter what you're going through, where you find yourself right now, listen, you still win. So we've had some great words that have come forth over the past few weeks as it relates to those halftime adjustments. Today, I want to talk a little bit from this thought, trusting in the preceding word of God. Trusting in the preceding word of God. I want to share a few scriptures, and then I want to share a few points with you. That we don't. I don't have this PowerPointed. I just didn't feel that I wanted to do that, needed to do that. I just need you to listen intently. If you take notes on your phone, just put them in your phone. Pastor Deborah will catch anything that we feel to be relevant or pertinent to be up on the screen. So in John chapter 1, it says this, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was in the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." It goes on and says, "There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him." He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. "There was the true light, which, coming into the world, enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right or the power to become the children of God or the sons of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." It goes on a little further and says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Then it's in Proverbs 3, 1 through 6, it says this, "My son, do not forget my teaching. Let your heart keep my commandments." Say, "Keep my words." Come on, let my heart keep your words. It says, "For length of days and years of life, for length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so that you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man." Then it says this, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." Repeat it after me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Saying, "He will make your path clear." It goes on in Isaiah. Now I'm Isaiah 55, 6 through 11, and it says this, "Seek the Lord that he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the righteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord. Let him return to the Lord." Now, let me go back and read this part again, because this is key as in terms of some of the things I'm going to say to you. "Seek the Lord that he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him and to our God." It says, "And he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout, and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, it says, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it." All right, one last passage, Hebrews chapter 4, starting at verse 12. "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to his eyes, to him who, with whom we have to do. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens," say high priest, You remember that the high priests were the ones that went into the temple, that went into to offer up offerings on behalf of the people. Since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. Let us hold fast to our confession. Say that. Let us hold fast to our confession. It says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. That's just one more scripture, okay? Just one more scripture. 1 Peter 1, 24 and 25, it says this, for all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass, and grass withers, and the flower falls away, but the word of God, the word of the Lord endures forever. Say this, the word of the Lord endures forever. Come on, say, the word of God endures forever. And this is the word which was preached to you. As a matter of fact, Jesus put it this way. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will last forever. Excuse me, I need you all to just bear with me a little bit. I was fighting off something this week, and just a little bit of something still happening with my throat. So if I'm clearing my throat, then you understand why. But it's important for me to be here, to be with you, to share this word. Trusting in the proceeding word of God. Say, trusting in the proceeding word of God. Come on, say it again. Trusting in the proceeding word of God. Now, I read the scripture that says the word of God is alive, is quick, is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God is alive. Say, the word of God is alive. Every word that God speaks breathes life. Every word spoken concerning the word of God breathes life. As a matter of fact, you'll remember that there came a point where Jesus stopped talking. There came a point where Jesus stopped talking, when he went before the religious leaders, when he went before Pilate. There was a point where he stopped talking. And the reason I believe he stopped talking, because every time he spoke, it produced life. His words produced life. The Bible makes it clear that the power of death and life is in the power of the tongue. Your words have power. They have power to speak death. They have power to speak life. In this thought of trusting in the preceding word of God, what I want to focus on for the next few moments is that God has a way of causing his word to come alive to you and I. And when that word is spoken concerning us, we have to know that it is a preceding word. Say, a preceding word. When I think about something that's proceeding, it means it's moving. It means that it is going somewhere. And in the preceding word, often there are things happening that you and I are not necessarily aware of in the onset. So we hear a word and we receive the word, but there can be moments and seasons in our lives when that word is yet working, but we don't know that it's working because it isn't looking the way we thought it was going to look. And yet, it is the preceding word of God. I'm talking about trusting in the preceding word of God. I think that one of the recalibrations, if you will, in coming out of, or we're still in this halftime adjustment, is a recommitment to trusting in the preceding word of God. Trusting in God, trusting in the preceding word of God. Because we can, if we're not careful, we can land in that space. And the reason why I had us say it a couple of times there in Isaiah 55, 6 through 11, seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord. See, that isn't necessarily about sin. Sometimes it's just about doubt. That you and I can begin to doubt God and begin to doubt God's word, and that his word is working. When sometimes it's just we are experiencing the preceding word of God, simply meaning that this word, as it has been spoken and we have received it, we have acknowledged it, and we are walking it out. Now, this word is shaping things on our behalf, either that we have no knowledge of or didn't realize it was going to shape out the way that it's going. I'm talking about trusting in the preceding word of God. I don't know about you, but I look back over my journey and I think about the things that I heard from God, acted on, but it didn't go exactly the way I thought it was going to go. And yet it has always has been, and it always will be, God. So therein lies the next level of trust that we must come into with him, so that, one, we don't doubt him, that we don't become anxious, or we don't abort the process because the word is working in a way that we didn't realize it was working, or that it is working. That it is working. Trusting in the preceding word of God. That word that was initially spoken has taken on a life of its own. It is doing exactly what God intended. That word will not return void. It will accomplish that which he pleases. I've shared this with you often, and it's worth repeating again. When you and I receive a word from God, it is multifaceted. Say multifaceted. It's a multifaceted word. It's like that diamond. It's like that precious jewel that's held up in the light, and the fractions of it. You can see all the various colors of it through the light into it, and you turn it and you begin to see all these different colors in it. It's the same way in your life, and it's the same way in my life. It's the same way concerning the word of God working in our lives. So there has to be for us times when we can pull back, and it's okay to say, God, I don't understand it. I don't understand it. And so I'm asking you to help me with it. Sometimes it can be, I don't understand it. Sometimes it can be, I don't like it. And so I need you to help me with it. And that's where the trust in the preceding word of God comes into play. You must trust God. I must trust God. We must trust him all the time. Sometimes we make the statement, you know, trusting God when it doesn't make sense. Well, does that mean when it does make sense, you don't trust him? No, it means we need to trust him all the time. But in those times when it doesn't make sense, what are we saying when we're saying it doesn't make sense? We're saying it doesn't add up to what we thought it was going to be. We're not able in our finite minds to connect the dots as to how this should fit together. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Is anybody like maybe in that space right now concerning some things? Because I sure am. It's like, okay, this doesn't really make sense, but I trust you, God. I've been trusting you. It's not like as long as it makes sense, I don't need to trust you. No, I need to trust you even while it makes sense. And when it doesn't make sense, I trust you all the more. And there's these times when we find ourselves and we're saying, okay, so what's going on here? This seems to be going away that I I did not anticipate. It's not making sense. And yet, God, I trust you. I trust the word that you've spoken, that this word is framing my life, that this word is working in me and it's working around me, that this word is framing the world as you have set it in motion for me and those around me. That's a different place of relationship with him. When you can look and you're saying, this is not making sense to me, but I'm not going to let it stop me. I'm not going to stop because it doesn't make sense. No, God, I'm going to press into you even more. I'm going to pray even more. I'm going to fast even more. I'm going to get on my face even more. Trusting in the preceding word of God. There are so many things about the word of God when we take a look at it and we look at it closely that it just doesn't make sense. But we must be willing to trust in the preceding word of God that when God speaks a word, when God speaks a word, it sets in motion. You must recognize, hear me, because of the redemptive work of Calvary, because of who you are in God, who you are in Christ, you have been given that same authority as it relates to the word of God. Thank you. And that's why you and I, we must be careful with the words that we speak, what we say, how we say it, when we say it. Sometimes trusting in the preceding word of God simply means I can't say anything. I can't put my mouth on this. I can't say anything about this. I need to leave it right where it's at because I don't want to mess this up. Sometimes the best thing we can do is just simply say, God, I trust you and I praise you. I trust you and I praise you. I trust you and I worship you. What I'm saying is, God, I trust you and I'm not going anywhere. I trust you and I'm staying close to you. So what is it that's going on in your space right now that God is saying, hey, I just need you to trust me on this? You were stirred by the word when you received the word, and now you're walking it out. Now you got to trust me. You got to trust that the word that I've spoken to you, you got to trust me that the dream that I've shown you, you got to trust me that the vision that I put in your heart, that I am the one who can bring that to pass. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he can bring it to pass. He will bring it to pass. The key is just to stay right with him. Stay right with him. Stay right with him. Stay right with him. Don't allow your mind to move you to a place that causes you to have any other thoughts than that God is for me. That God is for me. And even while I'm walking through this situation, I have to remember how his word is working. It's not just working outside of me. That word is working in me as well. Because you see, the same word that is working on the outside is working on the inside to perfect you and I. To mature you and I. Trusting in the preceding word of God means oftentimes that we've got to over and over and over relinquish control. We've got to be willing to relinquish and let go of trying to make uncertain things certain so that we can feel good about it. When things start to shift and they look different than what you thought they were going to be, can you trust God and trust that the word that he has spoken, that that word is somehow working in that situation, working in that relationship, working in that home, working on that job? so that we are not finding ourselves vacillating back and forth on this emotional pendulum. That we're swinging back and forth. One time we're doing really good. Praise the Lord, things are great over here. I just don't know what's going on. Well, the same word that was working over here is the same word that's working over here. It's just how God is working that word. But you have the ability, I have the ability to be right here and stay circumspect in the midst of all of it. So that one morning we're not waking up over here and one morning we're waking up over here, or we're going throughout our day like this. And we find ourselves like that person in James that talks about a double-minded man being unstable in all his ways. Don't let him think he'll receive anything. You just are not going to get there. Sad part about that is that same word that you can't figure out, because you're not supposed to be trying to figure it out. You're supposed to be trusting God. That same word is yet working. Trusting God in the preceding word, in his preceding word. So there's times when we have to find ourselves back with that childlike faith. I know that it can often, it helps to have some sense of confidence as to what you're doing. The call on your life, what God is doing in any given season of your life. But there are times when we need to just kind of get still and say, at the end of the day, I am still a child of God. And I still present myself as a child to God. I am his son. I am his child. And I need to be able to say, and Daddy, I need you. Right now, I need you. And I need to be able to posture myself, and maybe for some of you right now, the place for you in trusting in the preceding word of God is just simply to say, like Mary said, be it unto me according to your word. Now, I don't know how this word is going to unfold. Mary didn't know how that word was going to unfold. Her mind was already blown by the fact that the angel said, you're going to have a baby. And God himself was going to be the father. Now, how many of you know there's no kind of way to wrap your mind around that? No kind of way. Trusting in the preceding word of God, those moments when this isn't making sense, but it doesn't have to make sense. I just simply need to trust you. That is one of the most vulnerable places that you can be in. I'd liken it to the first time I had an automobile with a navigation system. It was a Chrysler 300. And I was so excited that now I got a car that's got a navigation system in it. And I put some coordinates in there where I was going, put the address in there. All of a sudden, I got nervous. And the reason why is because now I'm having to follow this voice that I really don't know if it knows. And so I followed it, and I got where I was going. I'll never forget my first trip using it. I went to Louisville, Kentucky to go to a service, homegoing service. And I just remember every time it told me to do something, I just kept thinking, I hope this is right. 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 And by God's grace, I got there. Over time, I realized this really does work. This really can work. And I found that I was able, thank you, I found that I was able to trust the voice. When I talk to you and I about trusting in the preceding word of God, because you see, when you put in the coordinates, when you put in the address, it maps out the path, and it gives you usually 2-3 options. And you want to do it, everybody wants the shortest route. And then you find yourself plugging that in, but all along, you got to keep listening to the preceding word, the preceding voice along the way. And depending on the technology and how sophisticated your system is, it can tell you the police on the side of the road. Car on the side of the road, 1,000 feet. And you're driving, and then you see that, and you recognize, wow, yep, there it is right there, or there he is right there, all along the route. And before you know it, you reach the destination. There's also, though, a level of technology that can tell you an accident is ahead. It can tell you that you can save 10 minutes by taking this road. So you have the choice. You can stay on the road you're on, or you can get off and you can go over here. I'm talking this, now hear me, because what I'm talking about is trusting in the preceding word of God. You see, and we've talked about this before, it's not just what he said, it's what he's saying. And for many of you, for many of us right now, it's crucial that we understand. It's crucial that you understand what he is saying to go along with what he said. Because in that, God himself, who knows all things, not making it up as we go along. That's not God. If that's where you think God is, you're missing it. That's not God. What is this? T. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Is this making sense to you? Man, that was 3 of y'all. Is this making sense to 7 of you? Come on, y'all, work with me on this. I know we got koinonia and there's food waiting for you. But I got to meet you, no, not of. No, I'm just saying. Okay, y'all, I'm about done. Glory. Glory. I need us to get this. I need you to get this, because in this trusting in the preceding word of God, we've got to be able to not only hear what he said, but hear what he's saying. And be able to, as Pastor Nina shared so wonderfully years ago, move in swift obedience. Sometimes what you and I are trying to do is make it make sense. Listen, while you're trying to make it make sense, the next voice you hear and the next face you see will be Jesus. Because you'll be gone. And that was part of her testimony back then. Doctor said, we don't even know how you drove here. But it's in the swift obedience of hearing it. And right now, I'm saying to all of us and those that are watching, we must trust in the preceding word of God. And we have to be able to hear what he's saying, make those adjustments, and keep moving and trusting him as we're walking it out. We spend so much time, if we're not careful, trying to figure it out that we can miss the moment. You see, it's in the book of Acts, chapter 9:10, I believe, where Peter has the dream. And the dream that Peter has is a word, the dream that he has is about eating what they called unclean things. And the voice says, eat. And he says, God forbid. out. Now, what Peter was doing is he was standing firm on a word he had heard. And that's often where we can get stuck if we're not trusting in the proceeding word of God. And so it says he had that dream three times. But what weighed in the balance? And hear me when I say this to you, and I'm talking to Aaron, I'm talking to those of you that are joined in this house and why we are assigned here. We are here to reach the folks in this community and as many as possible see them come into the kingdom of God and see them walk out and fulfill purpose and destiny. Are you listening to me? We can talk about your purpose and destiny all day long, but there are people out there dying and going to hell. And the reason why I'm driving this point home is because you see, what Peter didn't realize what weighed in the balance was Cornelius and all of his household. It says Cornelius was a devout man who was praying. Is it possible that there are those that are praying right now, wondering where you're at, wondering where we're at, wondering where are those who will come and help us? So while Peter is trying to make it make sense and he's refusing it, Cornelius has prayed. And the Bible says that God heard his prayers. And so God moves sovereignly. Tells Cornelius to send men to Joppa. Send men to find this guy and bring him. And so God has to speak to Peter and says, don't you call unclean that which I call clean now. Proceeding word. I know what I said. I'm telling you what I'm saying now. Sometimes that's a reality even amongst family, amongst the dynamic of parenting. That sometimes you have to help them understand, I know what I said. I'm adding to it. I know what I said. I'm telling you what the rest of that is. I know what I said, and this is what I'm saying to you now. See, Peter was the guy that God chose all along to do these things. That's why when Peter was about to be attacked by the devil, Jesus said, look, Satan has desired to have you that he might sift you as wheat. He's trying to take you out right now. But I have prayed that your faith fail not, and when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. Now, how many of you know if Jesus prays for you, you're good? I said, how many of you know if Jesus prayed for you, you're good? Some of you ought to recognize you're good right now because it says he is our high priest. He is our intercessor, sitting at the right hand of God, making intercession for the church, for you and I. Come on, just say, I'm good. Come on, say, I'm good. Come on, say, I'm good. I just need to trust in the preceding word of the Father, the preceding word of God. See, Peter had to settle. And once he did, he could hear that, and he ended up going, and it was through him that salvation came to the Gentiles. I need us to recognize, I need you to recognize, those that are watching by way of live stream that are joined to this house, I need you to recognize that the assignment is becoming more clear as to how God has purposed to do what his word has always intended to do. Here in this location, here in this community, here in this city, here in this region. Trusting in the preceding word of God. So it was over time that I became accustomed to, comfortable with the GPS systems. So now they're on our phones. Sometimes I have it on my phone and in the car going at the same time, just kind of playing one, see which one's going to tell me this, you know, or whatever. But my point with that is being, is simply this, at this stage in your life, have you come to a level of trust concerning the preceding word of God because you've heard him enough? You followed him enough? And you can now trust him and trust his voice to lead you. And trust that when he speaks something, that he is well able to bring that word to pass. How many would say, I believe I'm there? Y'all not talking to me. I said, how many can say, I believe I'm there? Because that's exactly where the Father has intended for you and I to be. That's exactly the place that you and I must live in right now, today. Because God said, my word will not return void, but it's going to accomplish that which I please and prosper whereunto the thing that I've sent it. The word of the Lord endures forever. The word of the Lord endures forever. So in a moment, I want to pray for us. I want to pray for you. Because what I see right now in this place where we find ourselves, for many, is the need to recommit to trusting in the proceeding word of God. And moving from the place of it needing to make sense to just simply abandon trust. Sometimes we can be too smart for our own good. And so we do not continue to rely on the leading of Holy Spirit. We do not continue to lean on him because we have knowledge now. And sometimes we can just be too smart for our own good. And God has a way of showing us, helping us to recognize, no, you really do still need me. Even with what you know, even with what you can do, even though you're good at it, at the end of the day, no, you really do still need me. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be the guy that he has to come tell that. That's why I was singing, I need you more than yesterday. I need you more than words can say. I need you more than ever before. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. More than the air I breathe. More than the song I sing. More than my next heartbeat. More than anything. And Lord, as time goes by, I will stay by your side. Because I never want to go back to my old life. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Trusting in the preceding word of God. Trusting in the preceding word of God. Know that God's word is working. Continue to trust that it's working because that's what he said. My word will go forth and not return to me void, but accomplish that which I please and prosper whereunto the thing that I've sent it. His word is working. Continue to remind yourself what Paul writes in Romans. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. I encourage you to remind yourself that his word, again, is multifaceted. It's doing much more than you and I could ever imagine. Much, much more. And the amazing thing about it is, when it's all said and done, we will stand in amazement. That all of this was wrapped up in that word. Father, I thank you right now. I thank you that you're helping us in this season of halftime adjustments, of coming back to that place for many, but for others, remaining resolute in that place of trusting in your preceding word, that word that you've spoken is unfolding. And while that word has been spoken, you're yet speaking even other words. And so we thank you right now. And we remind ourselves of your faithfulness throughout the years. That just like that natural GPS system, we can look back over our lives, we can look back over our journey and see over and over and over and over how that you have been faithful. And so we thank you for your faithfulness to your word. That even if we find ourselves in this moment with a sense of uncertainty, help us to move into that place once again of trust in you. I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. Even when I don't understand it, I trust you. I trust you because I know that your word is working, is perfecting, and that which will be accomplished will be more than anything I could imagine. So I thank you, Father, for the grace to trust you even more. Now, Father, I pray for those that have found themselves in the space of trying to make it make sense and not being able to make it make sense, have somehow allowed themselves to draw back, pull back. But God, help them, help us to trust you all the more. I trust you with it all. Can you say that with me? I trust you with it all. Come on, say that with me. I trust you with it all. I trust you with it all. So Father, help me to rest in you. Help me to rest in you. Help me to rest in you. Peace in you. Confidence in you. Joy in you. Hope in you, expectation in you. In Jesus' name, amen.